Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 123, recorded on May 2nd, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, iTunes, App Store, and everything in between. I'm Michael Johnston, and we are here with the triumphant return of the podcast. It's been a month, and the gang's all here. Adam Christensen, of course, from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, where am I?
Where are you? I think, I don't know where you are. I could tell you where I am. I'm in Florida.
Wait, is this We Have Communicators?
Did I say something else?
I don't know. Is that show still around?
Yeah, we're here. Oh. We're back. We were on a break. I, decided I wanted to do other things. See other podcasts. Like you do.
You bitch.
No, that's Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
I feel like as I'm saying these things, this is like autopilot right now, but like, I feel like I might
autopilot from the airplane movie.
No, that's something else.
Yes, it is.
But I feel like maybe I'm like saying, and here's Dave Hamilton and John Braun, and I'm just saying words of podcasters. And now we're gonna do the tech guy pick of the week or something. I'm just gonna start saying things from podcasts that I listen to.
Which one is this again?
We Have Communicators.
Oh, what did they talk about on this one?
Communicators. I assume it's a Star Trek podcast. So,
oh, cool. I can do that.
So yeah, I'm in Florida. I came down here to see the last launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavor on Friday. Unfortunately, the launch was scrubbed. Thankfully, though, I planned ahead and decided to bring basically everything down with me. So while I wait, I have the ability to do the podcast. I'm sure that makes everybody happy.
So you're just going to hang out in Florida till they get ready?
Yeah. They said, I mean, it's basically a game of chicken between me and the space shuttle, whoever decides to leave first.
Well, hopefully it's the space shuttle.
That's what I'm hoping for. So, yeah. What are we here talking about? AirPlay private key has been exposed. Opening the door to Airport Express emulators, which is fun.
Wait a minute. How old are these show notes?
That's what I was about to ask.
This is from basically when we left off. I've been in a hyperbolic time chamber.
Oh, okay. So
don't tell me what the real date is, because I'll be very afraid.
Talking about the white iPhone then, right?
No, we're about 30 minutes from talking.
This is going to be a long podcast.
No, we're going to zip through this stuff. So the AirPlay private key has been exposed, which means that you'll be able to stream from AirPlay-enabled software, such as iTunes or your iPhone, to third-party hardware. Software, of course, third-party hardware can be certified to use AirPlay, but I guess now you'll be able to implement that in software as well. Now, since we do have the benefit of this being almost a month old, have there been any uses of this yet that you guys have seen?
No.
No.
I really wouldn't expect it. I mean, it's like jailbroken hardware for AirPlay when you can just license AirPlay from Apple and be done with it.
Well, I like the idea of doing it from one computer to another, right? So you have Rogue Amoeba's AirFoil that allows you to do something very similar to that. And there have been odd times where I've thought, hey, I would like to, AirPlay from my Mini to my MacBook because my MacBook is more portable and I can plug it into some speakers or something like that.
Well, Erica Sadoun's taking care of that.
That's true.
Okay, now, yeah, and she's doing a good job too.
Yeah, I love that stuff, yeah.
Okay, now this story is far enough back for me now. I can't remember. Is this a thing that allows you to emulate an Airport Express?
Correct,
yeah.
Okay, so that's what makes it cool, because now you can make any device appear as if it's an Airport Express.
Right.
And then stream to any device.
Correct.
Okay, so I am thinking of the right thing then.
Yeah, no one's. I don't think anybody's doing it, and you don't really need to. And I would imagine that the problem there, the dilemma there, is especially if you're going to invest in making, you know, a speaker system that works with AirPlay, and you don't go through Apple and you use this solution.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, if Apple could easily change something, I would imagine
very easily
software,
yeah,
and your stuff wouldn't work anymore.
Well, who knows? I mean, if they start changing stuff like that, do you think that all the hardware out there would also have to be changed? I don't know how this kind of thing works.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd also assume it's like a firmware upgrade thing for devices.
Right. They could just have their manufacturers push out a firmware update, you know, right before they do the switchover.
Yeah, I'm sure those manufacturers and users who have those products would love that.
Would love that. Yeah, they would.
Oh, we're just going to make it stop working, and then your grandma is sad because she has one.
I would imagine you could do it in a way where you didn't have to force the one to stop working. Mm. You could just issue a new key for all those devices, push it out there. I guess ultimately you'd have to make it stop working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know
yeah,
either.
Yeah, but you could have the two versions running for a while on devices.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Give people like 6 months to update it, and then actually all you're doing is pushing out the window where people bitch about their device not working by 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe not the best solution.
Yeah. So the iPhone 5 is supposedly going to be held off until September, according to both Reuters and All Things Digital. Right, we're going to be seeing, according to them, iPhone 5 will not be announced at WWDC as it has been in the past several years. I guess we're going to be seeing it during the traditional September media event. Supposedly, so Apple can focus on software. Have we determined any of the reasons why? I guess they're going to be implementing some fancy new features that we just were waiting on.
Well, you know how my theories always go. And this is just my own personal speculation, is that there's no reason for Apple to rush to replace hardware right now.
Well,
It's like you read my mind.
Well, my meter is always follow the money. And iPhone 4 sales, as far as I know, are still pretty good, if the second quarterly results were any indication. They just added Verizon not long ago, and those sales are doing fine. I don't know if they're astronomical from anybody's standpoint, but they're doing very well. And the older hardware makes more money because component costs have come down. So it's cheaper for them to make iPhone 4s. And as long as they're selling well and in good numbers, there's no reason to put out a new model and just cut your profit margins down. So
there you go. I think you totally nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think there's other software services and things like that too they want to have in place before they launch a new. I think it's going to be a much bigger event. I think we're going to hear, you know, all this speculation about some of the cloud services. Apple needs some time to get some deals done. So there's just a lot of really good, I think, financial reasons to wait until that event and then just launch the whole thing so they can launch iOS 5, they can launch new iPod Touch and a new iPhone all together, along probably with some new cloud services to go along with them.
Yeah, you want to talk about the iCloud?
I think iCloud.
iCloud.com was recently purchased by Apple, I think for $4.5 million.
Supposedly.
This hasn't been officially announced. But according to GigaOm...
A couple people have said it's confirmed, even though they haven't had official word from Apple.
Sure, but. Yeah. I think All Things D also...
I could say it's confirmed, and...
That's my favorite thing. Yeah, yeah, we have confirmed from very reliable sources who are close to the people who know maybe about this stuff.
Who smoke weed with the guy who runs the domain name service.
But it's confirmed.
Yeah. So the speculation on iCloud is that not only will that provide you with access to your music collection, but also videos and photos. And it seems like Apple's probably going to wrap in all the services that MobileMe provides, such as syncing contacts and calendars and bookmarks into that as well.
Yeah, supposedly they're already working on it. The code name is, I think, didn't somebody discover the code name is
Castle.
Castle, yeah. In the cloud. That's so clever.
See, I was kind of hoping it was actually a little tip of the hat to Nathan Fillion.
I was hoping too, but I think it's Castle in the Cloud.
Well, it's not quite as cool as it was a couple minutes ago.
Sorry. That was my theory.
Thanks for ruining that for me.
It kind of made sense. And the other thing is, would it really surprise anybody that Apple's new cloud service, they would want to use the name iCloud? Apple kind of has a little bit invested in that whole iBranding thing.
Now, the interesting thing about them rebranding to iCloud is that it wasn't too long ago that they switched over to Mobile Me. Do you think they're going to continue using Mobile Me and then just say, oh, the Mobile Me iCloud service?
Yes.
No, the thing that got dumped or exposed was that supposedly, was it in Lion or something like that? There's some sort of strings that seem to indicate a conversion over, like you go through a conversion process and a dialogue comes up and says, do you want to convert your Mobile Me over to Castle or what will eventually be iCloud? So you kind of have to migrate everything over to the new cloud services, I guess, or kind of opt into it. So there'll probably be a transition period where you have Mobile Me and the iCloud thing, but then I think ultimately it'll just be the new branding. Apple's never been afraid to rebrand those services because we went from, what was it, iTools originally? iTools to, was it iDisk for a while, Jeff? Do you remember? Or I think it just jumped it was right to
iTools, then
to .Mac.
Yep. To .Mac.
And then to Mobile Me.
And then to Mobile Me. And then to iCloud.
Yeah.
Well, and on the kind of Mobile Me name thing, the company that Apple supposedly bought iCloud from, they have renamed their iCloud service to Cloud Me.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds kind of Mobile Me-ish.
Yeah, I guess it's strange. Like a desktop through a browser kind of service, right?
Yeah, and now I'm wondering, did they rebrand to Cloud Me thinking, hey, maybe we could sell this one to Apple too.
Yeah. I bet that's what their thought was exactly.
I want Apple to come buy my domains.
Start adding me and I to your stuff and maybe they'll talk to you. So are we thinking that we're going to have to pay extra for these services or is this going to kind of fold into the free offerings in the style of Find My iPhone that we've already seen?
I think there's going to be tiers. I really think Apple's going to make the Mobile Me sync stuff free, the syncing calendar contacts, just because there's so many iOS devices out there. I think there's a lot of value.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I pay for it.
Free.
I think and Google's sync services are free for Android.
Yeah. Okay. And I think there'll be a minimal sort of iDisk cloud storage thing that integrates with the iOS SDK, kind of a la Dropbox, a Dropbox-esque kind of thing, if I can speak today. And then I think they'll start charging premium for, you know, if you need more storage, and also probably for some of the iTunes Locker kind of stuff. Much in the same way you'd pay for like a backup service for your iTunes, because in essence that's what it is, and I have a feeling Apple will try and market it that way because that's sort of what they've done with the labels to try and convince them not to pay the additional streaming licensing fees. They're sort of like, hey, this is just like cloud backup,
right? Well, isn't the way that a lot of services have done in the past is that they actually use the exact files that you have on your computer as opposed to allowing access to the standard file, you know, just
the centralized file. Yeah, that's what Amazon is doing, and that's why Amazon said, "Well, we don't need to ask you for permission, music industry, because we're just storing a copy."
Right, it's just
Apple wants to go the other way, apparently, which is why they're doing deals. The rumor is they're working with the labels to try and do deals because they don't want to have to carry multiple copies. You know, one copy for every person that bought the track in their own account.
That'd be insane.
That's a lot of storage. They can have it centralized and distributed and just keep a record.
Well, that's how Lala did it.
Yeah. Makes much more sense.
Now, the other interesting thing to me is, okay, so there are some files that you have purchased, some music that you've purchased from iTunes on your computer, but more than likely you have way more stuff that you've ripped from CDs on your iTunes. I guess they're going to analyze those in the same way that Lala did and determine whether or not you have certain copies of those files and then just, Or, I mean, I'm not sure how
you would hope, but talk to Michael Robertson from mp3.com about how well that went.
Well, how well did that go? I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, mp3. Do you remember mp3.com? They're a San Diego company, so I know a little bit about them. And I think he moved into the VoIP services. He also did Lindo's. He's never been afraid to kind of take on different organizations. But back when, you know, Napster was going on, they had this great idea for this service where they gave you a little piece of software you ran on your Mac or your Windows machine, and you would insert the physical CD that you owned.
Mm-hmm.
And it would analyze the CD and go, okay, he's got a physical copy of that CD. And then it would unlock. They had gone through and bought like every CD and ripped them all onto their servers. And then this software would allow you to unlock it, and then it would put it in an online locker and give you streaming access to that MP3 file and download access to those MP3 files.
Which was awesome.
But you had to prove you had the physical CD first through their software, so they thought they were okay. But the record labels went, no, you can't do that. You just ripped off, you know, you're giving away rips. Which was funny because it was at the time when, you know, they were struggling with everybody just getting free stuff off Napster. And this was actually an alternative that was, you know, somewhat at least verifying people had ownership.
Right, yeah.
But the concern was people would go out and you know, either buy CDs or, you know, buy a CD from a used place and then just resell it back, you know, unlock it and then resell it back sort of thing. Not that they couldn't just do that anyway with ripping their own. Yeah. So really all they were saving was the ripping part. But didn't work out for them. So maybe Apple can convince the record labels to behave differently now. I mean, it is probably about, 10 years later now.
Yeah, and again, Lala was doing what it seems like Apple plans to do, which again goes back to, you know, if you guys remember, I know you guys remember, but I'm talking to the audience now. Apple bought Lala. So. Yep. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I definitely enjoy. I use Zumocast, I think, on my iPhone right now. That service is currently, you can't download a new copy of the application through the App Store, nor can you access the service online, but it's still available if you have the application right now. Yeah, Zumocast download has been temporarily disabled while they make several enhancements. It's been that way for a couple months, but that's one of the many services that are out there that allow you to stream music from your iTunes library to your iPhone or to your iPad, and I really enjoy stuff like that. And I appreciate the fact that that Apple put home streaming, home sharing into the iPhone and the iPad, but I would prefer if I could just access my library from wherever and not just have to be on the local Wi-Fi. So, Verizon CFO has revealed that the next iPhone will be a global device. Not too surprising, but according to them, be GSM and CDMA, one device instead of two separate devices, which will be much nicer for consumers because you
now
have
is it true? I thought I had read somewhere that the Verizon phone has that global chip in it. It's just that the GSM part is disabled.
I think it's
disabled, and it doesn't have all of the frequencies that it needs. So I think that one of the T-Mobile frequencies is not in there.
Okay, and it actually has come out recently that, according to Boy Genius report, Apple is testing the iPhone 4 on T-Mobile. They have photos of a white iPhone 4. Running on T-Mobile 3G. And, of course, it comes with all the...
You mean on AT&T?
T-Mobile.
It's a joke.
Yeah, maybe they just changed the carrier name.
What?
But it's possible they just changed the carrier name. Is that what you're saying? You implying?
Well, no, because AT&T's buying T-Mobile. So
by the time
they finish all their testing,
can we rewind
an AT&T phone anyway.
Let's rewind 10 seconds and I'll get that joke.
How long have you been out of the loop, Michael?
What? AT&T bought T-Mobile?
They're trying to.
Yeah.
Assuming the government's okay with it.
Yeah, so
I
wonder
what they probably ultimately will be.
I wonder what the benefit to having a T-Mobile iPhone at this point would be then.
I don't think it's going to happen before the buyout is finished, and that comes in part from having T-Mobile executives saying there will not be a T-Mobile iPhone before the buyout is completed.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, there you go.
But they could just be getting ready to make sure that, you know, everything's functioning properly on that network.
Yeah, so maybe they're
there's
just...
there's a quick transition.
Getting the extra frequencies working.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So 9 to 5 Mac reports that Apple has been seeding certain game developers, I would say special game developers, with secret A5-based iPhone 4s so they can test their apps on it. Well, games on it, rather.
Well, that's pretty generous.
It is generous, and it seems to make sense. It seems to be in line with the kind of thing that Apple has been known to do in the past. I know that back when the iPad had been announced but not yet available to the public, I know they sent out secret iPads to certain developers for testing, depending on how special they were to Apple, of course. And you know, having a secret stealth A5 iPhone makes sense. And I guess they have to store them in safes.
I wonder how thick it is.
I assume it's as thick as the iPhone 4.
This is like the blackout room requirements and stuff like that they made the iPad guys go through when they were doing that testing. You got to have a blackout room and a safe. And
well, I don't think you have to have a blackout room in this case because it looks like an iPhone 4.
Huh?
You just have to keep it...
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Keep it secured. Stored in a safe, yeah. Make sure nobody runs off with it.
How would you know? You might just accidentally mix it up with your iPhone 4. In there, you're working on your project. You got
I don't know what happened.
Oops, I grabbed the wrong one.
Oops, I grabbed the wrong one and sent it to a blog.
Oh,
I thought it was my iPhone that I sent to a blog. So
left it at a strip club.
Uh-huh, yep.
Then, now that I could see happening.
And told Brian Lamb where to get it later. I'm sorry, that's mean. let's see here. There have been mentions of ix.mac.marketing name appearing very briefly in the iTunes store earlier last month. Indicating so this was in the context of requirements for iPhone and iPad applications such as Facebook and other applications under the field where it says requirements compatible with iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and ix.mac.marketing name. So we assume that this has something to do with an unannounced product. Or maybe just a screw up.
You know, I'm kind of thinking this is a screw up.
Yeah, you don't think it has anything to do with the magic eye card that's coming out?
No, some people were speculating the TV, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to believe that it's the mythical true Apple TV that's actually a TV.
It could be for the Apple TV. It could be implying that we're going to see some apps hop on the Apple TV.
That's what I think is more likely, is
That's possible.
Yeah, if it's anything at all.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'm still inclined to think this is just a little coding screw up thing, and
well, it seems like
nothing will come of it.
It seems like that's what the placeholder for most other things would be. It's just some placeholder text, and maybe they just added an extra spot there.
Yeah. Now, I want to be the first to point out that my track record with a lot of these products lately.
I believe we've had lots of listeners actually go back through the entire history of the show and show that you've been the most inaccurate of anybody.
Yeah, and you know what? I love every one of you for doing that.
No, I do
that
too.
That totally
it's fantastic.
Rocks. So with that in mind, I have to point out that when I'm saying, wow, I think this is just a mix-up, whip out your credit cards, kids, because there's some cool new product coming.
Yeah, we are not soothsayers.
Yeah, but clearly, if I think it's one thing, it has to be the other.
Right. So Apple released iOS 4.3.2 a couple weeks ago, and I believe that it did not fix the reported battery life issues that a lot of people have been seeing, right?
My battery life has not really improved since I installed the update.
So when did the battery life start sucking? Was that 4.3.1?
Or 4.3.
Yes. Okay, so 4.3.1, and I've actually noticed this too. At first, I thought, okay, this is just one of those things that people are complaining about. And actually, It's been much harder to charge my iPhone in my car, for example. I usually can just, whenever I go out in the car, I plug it in, listen to music and whatever, and it charges when it's doing that, and I hardly ever have to put it on the charging block, and now I definitely have to make sure I'm charging my phone every day. Otherwise, I'm going to be left with a
Me ask you this, though. Are you doing that because the percentage is getting down very, very low in a given day? Because what I have found, or what I found ever since this bug cropped up, and lately I haven't been noticing it as much as I did when the update first came out, but the thing that I noticed was that my devices would drop very quickly from 100% down below 50%, but then once it got below that 50% mark, it would sort of slow down from there, and it was like a gradual decline, and ultimately, I haven't done the actual timing of it, but I would imagine that if I timed it out, my devices are lasting just as long. It's just they sit at 30% for like a really long time.
Well, I don't display the percentage meter on my phone because I feel it makes me crazy.
This might even be worse for you then, though.
Michael, it's not the battery
meter. Yeah, you're going to... Yeah, no, but this could be worse for you because you might be seeing the battery at looking at what's like, you know, 20%, but it'll sit there for, you know, a day at 20%.
Yeah, that's possible.
But you're seeing it at 20% at the end of the day going, oh, I better charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that I ever see either my iPod or my iPhone or my iPad getting, you know, below 50%, you know, until, you know, since this.
Until recently. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is it goes down very quickly on the front end, but then it's very slow. It's kind of like a trickle on the back end. And I don't know why that is.
So maybe it's
that's been my real world experience with it. So I would say try, you know, try this for a day. And it never hurts to let the battery run down to nothing anyway.
Sure.
But a day when you know you're not going to be out and about and you'll be near a charger, let it run down all the way till it gets to like 10%.
Yeah.
And see how long it goes.
I should do that. I did let it go down pretty, you know, the space shuttle launch was like going to Macworld in that it, you know, I got no cell service and the data hardly worked at all. And my phone died very quickly, which was very interesting. Did you hear that? There were like 750,000 people out there.
Isn't that just awesome?
There were more people at the royal wedding, though. Which kind of makes me sad.
Maybe it was easier to get to the wedding than it was to the shuttle launch.
You have to remember, though, in the UK, I mean, that's like a big deal. That's like... It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Shuttle launches happen more often than royal weddings.
Yeah. They won't for long, though.
Oh, so, good point.
Yeah, we got to get out of our Americanized perspective.
Yeah, if you guys have anybody out there who are having second thoughts on seeing a shuttle launch, if you haven't seen one, latest update, May 10th is the earliest tentative launch for Endeavour. So you could probably find some tickets on eBay. There were a lot of people who were disappointed.
So I'm guessing you're going to lose that game of chicken and come back?
No.
Or are you going to stay there till the 10th?
No, dude. I mean, it cost me a lot of money to drive up and down, so.
Yeah. Really?
So you may be sleeping in your car, but you'll be there.
Yeah.
At $5 a gallon?
Yeah, geez. All right, so let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, Pwnage tool has been updated for iOS 4.3.2, so you can get an untethered jailbreak on iOS 4.3.2, and I've done that. And I would like to comment on the personal hotspot feature. I don't know if you guys have actually had the chance to use that.
Did you get the second notice?
What second notice?
Apparently AT&T sent out notices again.
People they're getting pissed off again about the tethering thing?
Yeah.
Now, I have gotten no notices. I think
maybe you're getting special treatment.
I think they know who I am, I think is the issue here. So
that would explain a lot, yeah.
It would explain why I'm getting so many free iPhones.
Well, how heavily do you use it?
It really, really depends. And like I've said before, there have been months where I've used tens of gigs and some months where I've used a couple.
have you been using tens of gigs recently? It might be fun to see how much you could do before they would send you a text message.
To really, really press the bruise, so to speak. I anticipate using a lot more while I'm down in Florida since I'm away from my computer. Away from my house, rather. I certainly have my computer with me.
All right. Well, your assignment is to, everybody's assignment is to, I guess, follow you on Twitter. And then when you get the text message, you have to alert everybody.
Sure. I can do that.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm looking at my data usage right now. Analyze.
So you were going to say something about the tethering, though.
Oh, yeah. Personal hotspot. It's pretty cool. I guess.
That's right. They rebranded it, right? I still call it tethering. That bad?
I mean, it is tethering, but the feature is personal hotspot. So I guess so. That's everything right. Is consolidated to one panel now in the preferences. So you got connecting with USB, Bluetooth, and Wi-Fi. There's really only two things you can do. There's personal hotspot on/off. And Wi-Fi password. So the Wi-Fi password is obviously only for Wi-Fi tethering, and it makes it very simple. I'm glad that Apple has a setup now, so I don't have to deal with MyWi, which was actually a very good application, but it was a little bit more difficult to use. The only thing that I don't like is if I leave personal hotspot on, so I turn it on in the preferences, and I jump out to the home screen. And then later on, I want to use my iPad to connect the, it doesn't leave the Wi-Fi available, while I'm outside of it, until, so I have to go back into the, settings to start up the connection between the iPad and the iPhone. But once it's started, you know, once Wi-Fi is actually broadcasting, then I can easily turn it on and off. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I guess it's a. It seems like a power saving kind of thing. So it's not always just. It doesn't have Wi-Fi on and broadcasting all the time if there are no devices connected to it.
Okay, I can see what would be reasonable in that situation.
I'm going to say that for me.
But are you saying if you disconnect? So if you turn it on, you connect your iPad,
mm-hmm.
and then you disconnect the iPad from it. It's going to shut off.
Once it shuts off, yeah, once the blue bar disappears and I'm not on that specific preference pane, I can't reconnect until I actually jump back into the preference pane.
And then you fire the iPad back up and you say, I want to connect, and then it says, nope, there's no connection.
Exactly. I have to go back to the preference pane, which, again, it's not that big of a deal.
And it's kind of annoying, though.
It's a little bit annoying. It was a little bit annoying at first, but then I realized I would prefer to have better battery life than to...
Yeah, you would.
So, yep. It's a great feature. I really enjoy it. And the only thing I don't like is that now tapping that blue bar when you have sharing turned on, it brings you to that preference pane. So if you have, if you're tethering and you want to do that thing where you tap the status bar at the top to jump to the top of the page, it actually brings you to the settings.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe I'm just not hitting it right. That could be the issue there, but I'm not sure.
Well, if you're not hitting it right, I would still consider an issue on their end where they're creating an interface where you can hit it wrong.
I thought you were going to take that into a joke.
So did I.
No, I was... I'm sorry I let you down.
I'm disappointed. this is why I pay you the big bucks.
That was Jeff. Anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? That's what she said.
Okay. Good enough. Yeah, so, what next do we have on here? Oh, Location Gate. Has anybody called it Location Gate?
Everybody has.
I take great pride in the fact that I have not said that word.
Yeah,
I only called it that
because...
I jumped on the bandwagon. I piled on. I'll admit it.
I thought I was the original creator of that just an hour ago when I typed it into the notes, but I guess everybody's calling it that. I don't know why I'm so surprised.
Oh, Michael, you're so pretty.
I know. So a pair of security researchers, of course, as I'm sure everybody and their mom has already heard, found that the iPhone that iOS 4.0 tracks your location, or so it seems. So I guess initially it seemed like iPhone was keeping track of wherever you went, and that seemed really scary, but it since has come out from Apple after they figured out what's going on. It's actually tracking and caching the location of Wi-Fi hotspots and cell towers that your iPhone encounters in order to more quickly determine your current location. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it was just all a big bug. Don't worry about it.
I believe that's what Apple's saying, but the
right, exactly,
and it wasn't really tracking your location. It was tracking the location of everything around you.
Yeah,
it,
actually, I believe it's
and that's true. If you, I mean, if you look at the, if you ran that tool, I don't. It's kind of actually fun to run it, but and you drill in, you'll see all of the spots are in a perfect grid. It's like, you know, you could draw graph paper off the thing.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
Well, the interesting thing about when I did it, and this makes sense now that we know what's going on, is some of the time there were locations that I definitely had not been to.
Yeah.
So it's crowdsourced, right?
Well, it's crowdsourced, and it could be several hundred miles away from your location, because apparently what was happening was it would send your data anonymously for the cell towers and the Wi-Fi hotspots that you connected to. And then at the same time, it pulled down cached data for the area around you or the areas you had been to for up to a year's worth of data. Or no, it was up to a size limit, I think, Forrestal said. And yeah. they set the size limit at 2 megabytes. So it pulls down a 2 megabyte cache file. And apparently that 2 megabytes can store a lot of
well, I mean,
geolocation
it's,
data.
It's strings of text, right? So
exactly.
But I guess the Apple has announced that 4.3.3 will be coming out soon, which lowers that size, does not back it up to your computer, and deletes that file when you turn off location services.
It's also, and they're also going to encrypt it by default. Right now, if you just if you have the passcode lock, it would be encrypted on your phone. And if you set the setting in iTunes to encrypt your data backup, it would be encrypted on your computer. But I guess now, after this, they will encrypt that file, that cache file, by default.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Also, yeah. Something that hasn't been getting a lot of mention about the 4.3.3 update, according to Boy Genius Report, the update also includes battery life improvements.
This is the upcoming one that's going to have the fixes?
Pardon?
Sorry, this is the upcoming update. It's going to have the geolocation fixes in it.
Yeah, 4.3.3. It's going to have all those.
Cool.
Now, have you guys noticed that since like 4.3.1, your iPhones have been a little bit more buggy and a little slower?
I'm still having the
wiggle issue
with the wiggle delay issue.
Yeah, yeah. See, I jailbreak and I don't have that kind of issue.
I probably need to restore my. I haven't tried to restore my phone yet. I've stopped short of doing that.
The only problem I'm having is the, I'll call it the inaccurate battery level indicator.
Sounds good.
There's one thing I wanted to mention. I mentioned this on my show about the whole location services thing because everybody got an uproar, and something I didn't see covered. I forget where I saw this. One article I read covered the fact that in Apple's terms of service, you actually agree to all this location tracking stuff.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
Apple
it's like
detailed,
spelled out pretty plain English.
Yeah. And they detailed for Congress a year ago what it was they were doing.
Yeah. And what you agree to is actually more egregious. You agree to let them do a lot more than they are, I guess is the point.
Yeah, which makes sense.
So I wonder if they'll change the terms of service as well after all of this.
Yeah. Well, I believe a developer at FutureTap has started seeing bug reports from iOS 5.0, which is, of course, not too surprising, as I think we're expecting to see a preview of that soon. Has Apple announced that we're going to see a preview of that at some point? I can't remember.
Not exactly.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't they basically say with WWDC that it was going to be about software stuff?
So we're probably going to see it there.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. But yes, you're right. Everything Apple is saying about WWDC makes it sound like this is a software-based event. No big hardware announcements.
Right. Well, one of the rumors about iOS 5.0 is that we may be seeing some turn-by-turn navigation built into the device and as part of the location gate stuff. One of the things that they mentioned in their description of what's actually going on is that Apple is now collecting anonymous traffic data to build a crowdsourced traffic database with a goal of providing iPhone users an improved traffic service in the next couple of years, which would be in line with the periodic rumors that we hear about Apple hiring people to do turn-by-turn for them.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be in iOS 5, but Apple may surprise me.
Yeah.
we might really know, because actually I had to pull up because the press release for WWDC, Michael, and Phil Schiller was the one that tipped the hat that it's going to be about iOS. And the quote is, "At this year's conference, we are going to unveil the future of iOS and macOS."
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So I don't know if you can be more direct than that.
Yeah.
That's pretty telling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exactly telling.
Yeah. Now, as far as, does that mean turn-by-turn navigation in iOS 5?
Yeah, nobody knows.
You know, we don't know specifics, but it's definitely they're going to show the next generation of iOS and the next generation of macOS.
Yeah, for all we know, we could see a new application called iNavigate that's, you know, available for $50. Which would honestly make these turn-by-turn developers way less irritated with Apple than, you know, if they came out with a free version that's just included with the iPhone, because why would you want to buy TomTom or Navigon or something else if it was already included?
I think there could be lots of reasons.
It could be basic.
It depends on the feature set. If Apple just puts out basic turn-by-turn directions for free, there's a lot of other things in these other apps that are useful.
Yeah, such as a Homer Simpson voice.
Yeah.
There is that.
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson voices. Yeah, different voices. I don't know. I've been really happy with Navigon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I like it a lot.
I like Navigon, too.
It's getting better.
I'm currently using TomTom, and I don't particularly like everything about TomTom. I feel like Navigon has a leg up on the features, but TomTom has had a better interface, a better looking interface. I'm not sure if it's a better interface, because one of the things that they do, which irritates me about any application, is that they don't show the current time. You know, they hide that time bar when it's only just a few pixels, and especially with the turn-by-turn, it's not that big of a deal to use up those couple extra pixels.
Yeah. Navigon, I think, hides it as well, right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because I think the annoying thing is Navigon puts up the time to your destination kind of right up there at the top middle, and I always think that that's like the time.
Yeah.
So you, like, they give you the time of arrival.
Boy, it's been 12:52 for a long time now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, wait, that's not the time.
Yeah. Well, and the fun thing about that specific time is it does increase if you, you know, are slower than it anticipates you being. So then you could really trick yourself into thinking that's the current time. So, let's see. There was a video of a white 64 gigabyte iPhone 4 running an old test version of iOS 4. And I guess one of the most interesting things of that to me is that they had expose instead of the standard icon bar for multitasking. Did you guys see this video?
Yeah.
Are you calling fakety fake on it?
I want to call fakety fake on it.
I don't know. It looks pretty good. It looks better than any jailbreaky type of solution I've seen on the iPhone so far. Adam, have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
So basically what it does is you do the double click on the home button, and then instead of moving it up and you seeing the list of icons at the bottom, you see a grid of I think maybe 6 shrunken down versions of your applications. And I'm trying to pull it up right here.
You know, the thing that has me questioning the legitimacy of this was when they got to the part where they're showing you the 64 gig iPhone. And I just don't see Apple doing a 64 gig iPhone.
Like
at
ever?
Least not for another year or two.
Well, here's one interesting thing about this phone is that now that the white iPhone 4 is out, this one looks like either an older version, you know, where the sensor, the proximity sensor was a grill instead of just a little opening. So, but
yeah, well, you can, as I recall, you can see the reflection of the sensor thing above the speaker.
Yeah.
And it definitely doesn't look like what you have on the shipping white iPhone.
Yeah, it's definitely different. So, I don't know. I want to see that happen. I feel like they need to do that. But it's interesting that it's on an iOS 4 and not a higher beta. Because I think they said it was like iOS 4.0, like a beta version of iOS 4, not even like 4.3 or anything. So it's very interesting.
Well, as I recall, the build number was something that was lower than the actual shipping version of iOS 4.
Right, exactly. So it's interesting.
Now, I do like the idea of the whole expose thing. I thought it was kind of cool the way it displayed content for you.
Yeah, maybe I can just get that via jailbreak. Maybe I kind of hope that it is a jailbreak thing so I can just download it now and not wait.
I bet if you go digging, you'll find the jailbreak.
Yeah. So, as we alluded to, the iPhone 4 is now available in white. And I think some of you even declared it White iPhone Day and let me know. I got a lot of tweets about that because, of course, I've been the one talking the most, I think, out of anybody in the, you know, on the internet about the white iPhone 4. As you guys know, I had a white iPhone 4 that I built from parts that I got from various places.
Your Frankenphone.
Frankenphone, yeah. I really enjoyed having it. Unfortunately, did I tell you guys that my the screen was cracked? I cracked my screen.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't too noticeable, and the crack went, it completed itself, so it was initially a very small crack, and it grew. Thankfully, it grew in a way that did not really obscure the view of the screen at all, but I had to swap my phone out for because my camera stopped focusing, so I had to swap my phone out, and in the process I had to change it back to black, and so I've just decided to stick with the black one, and maybe I can, I don't know, convince someone to let me move over to the white iPhone since it's a brand new phone, but that's beside the point. So you can get a white iPhone 4. They changed the speaker or the proximity sensor opening. It used to be a grill style, as we mentioned, and now it's just an oblong black sensor window, I guess you could say. And I'm glad they worked on that because, in my opinion, that was one of the bigger issues of any on the white iPhone 4 because on mine I had the older grill style. And I had a lot of issues with the proximity sensor. The phone would turn off a lot when I didn't have it up near anything. So during a call, I would kind of have to wrestle with it. So I'm glad they got that figured out.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are happy to have their white iPhone 4s. So yeah.
All three of them who actually were able to wait for it to come out.
Well, except in China, where people are going absolutely nuts for it.
Are they going nuts for it in China?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because they think it's cool.
Well, I mean, I think it's cool. I guess I'm going nuts too, so I don't blame them.
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of Michaels in China.
Interesting. I did not know that. I thought there was only one.
Well, the more you know.
Mm-hmm. So let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, Steve Jobs and Phil Schiller made some comments, of course, on the white iPhone 4, talking about why it took them so long, said it was very challenging. Aside from just simply making it white, there were a lot of issues, such as, you know, the sensor issue, as we now know, was one of the things that they had to work out. I believe there's a different camera, a slightly different camera on the back of the white iPhone 4 than there is on the black iPhone 4. And I believe that the differences are very minor. We haven't really heard of anything except for it looking physically different. I don't think there have been any reports of better quality or anything like that. Are you guys aware of anything like that?
I haven't heard anything about quality difference.
Okay.
Just it's thinner, so it apparently can sit a little bit farther back or deeper into the iPhone body.
And another one of the interesting things that cropped up out of the white iPhone 4 being released was that some people believe that it was slightly thicker than the black one, just barely thicker. However, Consumer Reports came out with they actually measured the thickness of both the black and the white. And as far as I could tell, it's exactly the same thickness.
Now, there are photos out there of black and white iPhones side by side, and the white ones appear a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I'm betting that there is a very minor variation in production, and if you went through enough black iPhones, you'd find some that were a little thicker also.
Yeah.
And what does that say, that the thickness of an iPhone draws that much attention? I mean, if someone released a new Galaxy that was 0.2 millimeter thicker than another one, people wouldn't even think about it. But with the iPhone, it's like, oh my God, it's thicker. It's a big thing. That's a huge thing. Oh my God.
Well, the big deal is some of the hard shell cases. I would imagine that my Mophie juice pack will not fit. I mean, the tolerances are that tight. It's a pretty hard case. And I know that when I had the Mophie juice pack Air and I added just the Zag Invisible Shield onto it, it wouldn't fit in the Air anymore.
Okay.
Now, that is a good point.
So
that would be the only thing that would
that
be
level
it.
Of tolerance.
Be annoying. Yeah, very few cases. I mean, there's going to be very few instances. So I think you're right. People are making a lot more of it than they should. But there is that. There are going to be some case manufacturers that, if that is truly the case, although Phil Schiller came out and supposedly tweeted that it wasn't thicker.
Yeah.
But
I think it's just a variation in production. And go through enough iPhones, and you'll find black ones and white ones that are thicker and thinner.
And isn't that true about people, too?
Yeah, it really is.
There are some people are a little thicker. Some people are a little thinner.
Some people, when you wrap them in plastic, you can't get them back in the box. Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. It seemed like there'd be a joke there, but... Yeah, so I think, unless there's anything else that you guys can think of, I think it's time for our picks, right? Anything else we've missed? You know, I've been away from time itself for the last month, as we can obviously tell from the list of past things that we're talking about this week.
All right, so here's the other stuff you've missed.
Okay.
iPad 2 came out.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a little bit thinner than the iPad 1, and so that means some of your cases won't fit.
Okay. Apple Jetpack?
Steve Jobs says hi.
Yeah.
Tell him
for me that I said hi.
I will.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that's all you've missed.
Basically, iPad 2 and Steve Jobs personally saying hi to me.
Right. And I heard something about a new season of Hello Kitty, but I don't follow that close enough, so I'm not sure.
Is that a show? I didn't actually.
It's a way of life.
Yeah, that's true. I have enough Asian friends that I should know that.
Yeah, you should.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that means it's time for our iDevice picks then. So, Adam, would you like to go first? Do you have a pick this week?
Sure.
All right.
I'm going to pick Show You. You guys know Show You?
I don't think so.
It is a very cool universal app, so it's iPad or iPhone. I like it better on the iPad because I think the interface lends itself.
How do you spell
better
it?
For that? But it's basically a way to get a social view of videos. It's so you bring it up on the iPad, and what's cool is it has this really cool grid mode, and you see all the little videos in kind of different sizes. And you can look at the entire sort of Show You network, so everything that people are kind of sharing from the different social networks, or you can connect it to like your Facebook and your Twitter. And then you can also, of course, friend people. So you can set up a friends list. You can look at the videos your friends are sharing, all the videos that are being shared across your social network. So it's kind of cool to see what people are sharing on Twitter. All my Twitter followers, I can jump in there. And it's kind of fun for finding videos. And I just really like the interface. You get this grid and you can kind of just slide around, and you get the little thumbnails of the videos, and you can kind of click on one that looks interesting to you. They also have a list view. And like I said, on the iPhone, it works. They don't have the cool sort of grid layout view for it, though. And it's free.
What is it called? Or how do you spell it, rather?
Show You. Just like you would say it.
Show.
S-H-O-W-Y-O-U.
So one word or two?
One word.
I don't know why I didn't try searching for that at first. Actually, it's not coming up in the App Store.
No, it's not.
Did
it's
it get
interesting.
Pulled?
I bet it got pulled. It's if you do the search, the name shows up in the search list.
Right.
When you select the name,
why it got pulled.
Yeah.
It brings you to Animal Show You.
Pick.
You have a backup pick?
Sure. Game.
Game is my pick. Any game you like.
Game. Sword, unless I picked this already. And Sorcery. You guys seen this?
No.
It's very cool, kind of 8-pixely looking kind of game. Just really cool graphics, kind of RPG adventure kind of game that has a little bit of a Twitter kind of tie-in, and also works sort of with real time and moon phases and stuff like that. So I won't go into it too much, so but check it out. It's really cool.
Is it the five
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery?
Ah, okay. I think I did see this. Yeah, I've definitely seen those in the App Store. So it's a universal app. It's $5. Sword ampersand Sorcery. Right?
Yep.
That looks pretty cool.
Show You's at showyou.com. And it says available for free on the App Store. And if I click the link...
Does it bring you to it?
It's launching iTunes. They still have the web iTunes page up. Yeah. Free app, Remix Nation, Inc.
Now, your request could not be completed.
Oh, when you actually try and actually download it?
Yeah. Wonder why.
Maybe it's just a glitch.
Yeah, it could be. Well, I will. So, Show You is the primary, and then I'll put in the show notes Sword and Sorcery.
Sorcery.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Adam. Jeff, what is your pick of the week?
All right, I just checked to make sure that mine's actually on the App Store.
Okay.
It's called Fahrenheit. And it's a weather app. It's universal, so iPhone and iPad. And it gives you all the weather forecast info, but it also pushes the current temperature to your iPhone. So the actual application badge on your home screen shows whatever the current temperature is.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's like 99 cents.
Does it called Fahrenheit?
Yes.
I'm not seeing it. Maybe I don't know how to spell Fahrenheit.
You're just not having any luck today. No, I just downloaded Show You, so I don't know what your guys' problem is.
I couldn't get at it either.
Maybe I'm just on the wrong iTunes store. Maybe I'm on like the New Zealand iTunes store or something.
That's got to be it. All right, so FAHRENHEIT.
Okay, I found it now. Cool, 99 cents.
And it has something that for me is really important because I have very fair skin and I live in Colorado. So it shows me what the UV index is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And you can do an in-app purchase for an extra 99 cents and you can get satellite maps and radar maps.
Very cool. And so that's 99 cents called Fahrenheit in the App Store. And so my pick this week is an application called Prompt from the wonderful folks at Vamping Panic.
Oh, I know why you picked this. That's a cool app.
Yeah, that's why I picked it, because it's a cool app. So the application is for accessing SSH on your iPhone, on your iPad, so you can access SSH to your Mac, to a remote web server, whatever you want. And I would say, you know, I've been looking for a good SSH application for basically as long as the iPhone's been out. And this one's pretty sweet. Yeah. No, I've been avoiding getting one because I haven't found any that looked good to me or that didn't look unreasonably priced. Like, I think some of them that are really popular are like $10, and it didn't make sense to me to pay $10 for something like that.
An important feature that I think Prompt does support is the keys, encryption keys. You know, being able to store the key so you don't have to enter you can load the key on your phone so you don't have to enter the password every single time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To add a key pair to Prompt, select blah, 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 you can do it in iTunes.
Yeah, a lot of the apps don't support that. The other one that I know supports it and also does VNC is ISSH, which I know George Starcher really likes. But it's not the prettiest app out there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the applications that I avoided. I think that was the one that most people use, and I just
it's a really good one, for doing SSH. But it's $10, and it's not beautiful like stuff Panic makes.
Yeah. So Prompt is made by the wonderful guys at Panic. They know what they're doing. It's $5. It has automatic discovery of SSH app, clients or servers rather on your local network. So if you have SSH running on your Mac, all you have to do is go to shared servers and ta-da, it's there right there for you. You don't have to worry about IPs or anything. It saves passwords and allows you multiple connections, simultaneous connections. So you don't have to worry about disconnecting and reconnecting and all that kind of stuff. There are a lot of nice customizations, such as a frequently used keys setup. So you can have slashes or dashes or whatever special characters that you use frequently. So you don't have to jump over to the special characters keyboard. You can just have it right up there. It also has autocomplete built in. So if you type a command, it will actually save those commands. So you can, as you start typing it again, it'll allow you to autocomplete from there. So that's very handy. I like it. Prompt, $5. Go check it out in the App Store. If you're one of those terminal people, someone who uses terminal, go get it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Also, for those who jailbreak and enjoy doing SSH, you can also SSH to localhost from Prompt. So I can directly access my phone. And with that, you can find the show, of course, at wehavecommunicators.com. And you can send us feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That's an email address, of course, as you probably figured out from the way that I said it. And you can find the show notes and all of our iPhone picks, of course, on each episode page on wehavecommunicators.com. You can also leave your comments there. And you can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. Of course, twitter.com/jgamut and zazzle.com/jgamut is his wonderful Zazzle store where you can get hats, shirts, mugs, coffee cups.
Including the amazing We Have Communicators mug.
Yes. You can get it not only in standard mug size, you can get it in large mug size, you can get it in a beer stein and a frosted mug, if I am not mistaken.
You are not mistaken.
Awesome. Check that out. Zazzle.com/jgamut. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, MattCast.com, and Twitter.com/MattCast. And, of course, the member version of the MattCast is at member.mattcast.com.
Yeah, you can sign up for that. I just did a really cool episode on some mail tricks, mail tips and tricks. Awesome. And I borrowed Melissa's, but I gave her full credit, Jeff. Melissa Holt.
Wasn't that just an awesome tip?
We should give everybody that one. Give everybody that one because you have to know this tip.
Yeah, put that in the show notes. Okay, so Melissa Holt is one of our contributing writers, and she's been writing some quick tips over at Mac Observer, and she wrote up an absolutely fantastic tip on changing how mail handles when you copy a name or an email address. So instead of copying the name and address together, it copies just the email address, which is typically all you want.
Yeah, it always annoyed me that I would copy it and paste it, and then it would have the full name, and then you had the email address in the greater than less than bracket kind of thing.
Yeah,
I never know what to do with that. It's like, I just want the email. So this fixes that. It's going to save
me. And it's an easy fix.
Yeah, little terminal hack.
Awesome.
And the instructions are over at TMO.
Yep, so. And there's a link to it in the show notes.
Awesome.
And, of course, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And I think that you guys have received way more complaints than I ever get on Twitter about the show not being available on a normal weekly schedule. It seems like maybe they don't realize that I have a Twitter. If you need to complain, I would say don't complain. But if you need to complain, don't bother.
Maybe that's why they contact me and Adam.
Maybe because they know that I don't care.
They know that you'll next ignore them.
Yeah. Block next. No, I'm not going to block you. So yeah, if you need to complain about the show not being around, send it to me instead of these guys, because they don't have any control over that. They usually complain to me as much as you guys do.
That's true. And we have your phone number, so we can wake you up.
Yeah. So maybe you should contact them if I don't respond, because they can call me.
Yeah, it obviously worked, right?
I mean, there was enough complaining that I did get
you
it
heard
together.
About it.
Yeah, I did hear about it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/LilReviews. L-I-L reviews is where I post small Twitter sized reviews of basically everything that I encounter that I have an opinion on. So I would say a lot of beer, restaurants, stores, food,
yep.
Movies, music. All that fun stuff. Twitter.com/LilReviews and Twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And with that, you can. We will see you next week.
Maybe.
I would say definitely. I don't have anything else going on. I'm in Florida, so.
I'd figure you might sneak on. If there's no show next week, it's very likely because Michael snuck onto the space shuttle and is in outer space.
Well, I'm anticipating that happening. I just recently watched Space Camp, so now I know what to do.
Excellent.
Oh yeah, good tips in that
thermal movie. Curtain failure, I believe. Yep. So yeah, we'll see you next week on We Have Communicators.
An iPod, a phone, and an internet.
This is a stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.